Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com. Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back to The Shift. This week's guests are the two Johnnies, and Tori is guest co-hosting for this episode. So it's a lot of fun. We have the chats about their new show. We talk about manscaping, about fuckboys in Ireland versus America, dating here versus there, and just the general chats. And so have a listen, and I'll talk to you at the end of the episode.
So I don't forget. I literally always have on my notes on the top, it just says record, because I'm always terrified when I do a podcast without recording.
It's always a good start.
Yes. Solid start already to this.
Nightmares. So Tori, these are two lads. These are two Johnnies, Johnny Smack and Johnny B. My brother's favorite lads.
Oh God.
No way.
Yeah, you were in Granard secondary school. My two brothers go there, so.
Were we?
Oh, no, maybe you weren't, actually. Maybe I made that up.
Someone else is your brother's.
No, it's definitely used. It's definitely used. But now that I'm thinking about it, maybe it was you gave a shout out or something on something. There was something to do with Granard.
Yeah. That sounds more like us. I couldn't imagine us going to all the trouble of actually going to Granard.
I know. As
Wait,
I
is that
said,
a school?
Yeah. It's Lamford. It's not exactly the most liked county in Ireland.
No, it is.
It's the Vegas of Ireland, really.
Yeah, you know.
Oh, okay.
That's where you're going when you come to visit, Tori.
You'll just take me there? Anything?
Well, that's where my family lives, so.
Oh, okay. I'm like, oh, you're like, I live in the Vegas of Ireland.
Deal oh, you it. Said I'm Vegas. Like, I thought you meant vague, like, there's not a lot going on there.
Oh, that's the country accent. We've already fucking...
First stumbling block.
Already lost it. It took me about 5 years to understand Katie. I hope it takes me about 45 minutes to understand you guys. I mean, I watched a lot of you, so I feel like I understand. Do I sound weird to you?
No.
No, we're
fabulous.
Got a lovely accent.
Yeah. You could definitely, if you read the news, we would believe it, right?
Okay.
Tori can't read, though. She's dyslexic. So.
You can, reading the news, it's a figure of speech.
Well, I'm gone too long.
I was like, oh, that one I don't understand. I'll just move on.
This is going to be great.
This is going to be great. And it's cool because Tori's in LA. I'm in New York. And obviously you guys are in Tipperary, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Tori, have you heard of Tipperary?
No, it sounds like the tip of a dick.
Smells like it too. We were just in LA. We kind of like LA.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, with our image, yeah.
No, we were hanging out a lot down by Venice Beach, which is a...
Oh my God, it's a nut place. Katie, did you ever go there when you were in LA?
I don't know. I was just dragged around. I never really looked at where I was. I feel like I should have checked more.
Were you just happy to be out of Granard?
Yeah. Oh, well, Tori always likes me for this because she says that I'm just always happy when I get in like a taxi or when we do anything. But everything's just so special over here. You know, it's so nice.
I agree. That's exactly how we feel when we leave Tipperary. Even like a filling station in Laois is exciting to us now.
Exotic. Yeah.
And come here. Why did you choose America? I know it's probably an obvious question, but.
Money.
The network really wanted us to go, and they have lots of money. So, no, we had been to America a couple of times touring, and we just had so many kind of places earmarked that we wanted to go. And to be fair, Americans, you're fucking mental, the lot of you, like. Do you know, you make great television. Like, there's no point going somewhere sensible. And Irish people are kind of obsessed with America too, John, I think.
Yeah, it's class. Like, if you stop someone in the street in Ireland and you're like, hey, can I have a chat with you there for a second? This is going to go out on television. They'll be like, Jesus, no, or don't. You know, me neighbors will see this. Whereas in America, if you stop someone on the street and you're like, do you mind just doing this for a second? They're like, dude, is this going to be on the fucking news?
Yeah.
This is awesome. They're so excited. Whereas straight away an Irish person is like, the fuck do you want? Like, you know, they're almost threatening.
Like, everyone wants to be an influencer in America.
I'm starting to think everybody we met in America just wants to be famous. Yeah.
But sure. You guys also went to like big cities. Or I don't know. We didn't get to watch all the episodes, but
we went to Miami and we're going to DC in the next episode. We had to cancel New York over the coronavirus, but
Oh, that's why I was like, why aren't you going to New York? I love New York. I'm living in New York.
Yeah, there was a pandemic. I know.
The episode when you guys went to the brewery and then it closed at 11, you guys were like freaking out. You just were like, what the hell is going on? What else did you notice that was so different compared to Ireland and your trip?
LA, like where is Party Central? Not to sound overly Irish, being like, oh, the pubs are too fucking far apart. But like in Ireland, in every town, there's areas. Like this is the area with all the bars where you get thrown out of one and you can just go into the next one. And it's all mental. But in LA, we found it so spread out and people were like, just sitting around, maybe having chicken wings and like cocktails, relaxing. We were like, I want to see men on the table with their tops off, singing The Killers. You know,
it was so fucking hard to get drunk in LA. It was like you go to a bar and you're like, oh, I've had like four or five drinks. All right, I'm starting to get going a bit. And someone's like, I know this other deadly bar, and I'm like, oh, class, yeah, let's go. And they're like, okay, cool. It's just let's get in the taxi. You get in the taxi, and 2 hours later, you arrive at another bar, and you're fucking sober because those five drinks you've had have had no effect for the 2 hours you've been listening to some fucking
need the nagging
crazy music in the taxi. Like while Johnny talks to an Uber driver about his life story, he's one of those people.
Well, LA people love that. LA drivers, all they want to do is talk to you, so you're perfect.
It is so true. And then it kind of ruins your night because when you're sober and up, you start to get a little depressed, like, because you just realize like the crack you've been up to. So I felt the same in LA. But everybody drinks drives in LA. That's what I noticed.
You mean we could have done that? Didn't know that was an option.
It was crazy.
Well, who's running the law? Is the Healy Rays running in California?
I don't know. I don't know where we were. I don't know what part of America it was last year when we went away, or was it 2 years ago, but we were in, I was hungover and we were in some city anyway, and we got an Uber and Johnny was like so enthusiastic. And I, like, when I'm hungover, I don't want to speak to anyone, absolutely anyone. I just want to just fucking die alone by myself, like a bad animal. And I was in the back of the car and then Johnny's like, where are you from yourself, lad? And I was like, oh, here we fucking going up. I trying to go asleep. And then Johnny's like, class. And what's the music like in Africa? And then before I know it, the whole car is fucking vibrating. And this lad is playing Johnny some crazy music. He's like, you like Johnny? He's like, I love that. I'm in the back going, oh, Jesus Christ, will you stop with the music?
The guy was from Ethiopia. And I was asking him, like, what's their traditional music? And then I got him to put on some Bati Band and, like, Wolf Tones and stuff. I was showing him traditional Irish music. But we found every Uber driver we had in LA, they're driving, but they're like, yeah, I'm also developing an app. Or I'm also trying to be an actor. I'm trying to write a song. And I met this guy from Haiti. And he was like, oh, you Ireland man. I can't do the accent. I'm sorry.
It's a terrible accent.
It's going to be so racist. Wow. Sorry.
But I love that you even tried. Like, that made me so happy. I'm so sick of these American comics that are like, letting you know he was a Haitian man, okay? But you, I love that you went in. Like, I want to move to Ireland just because you did that. Like, I miss 2010. Like, I miss that year in 2010. I love it.
I'm still here.
I called Tori one of the days and I was like, I think you're going to get in trouble for your Instagram stories, because she had a whole Instagram story dedicated to doing an African accent. And I was like, I just don't know if you can get away with it. And she was like, fuck it, it'll be grand.
No,
sometimes you gotta do an accent.
We're lucky in Tipperary that it's actually still the year 2007 here. So, you know, we're operating on a whole different time. Yeah,
I'm going to go back in time to there.
The point of it was that this Haitian guy whose accent I can't do was like, oh, you're from Ireland. He's like, we love Ireland because in Haiti, we all drink Guinness. And I was like, "What? Why do you drink Guinness? And he's like, man, Guinness is good for two things. It's got iron in it and fucking bitches.
Doesn't work that well for us now, I have to say.
But like, that's a good start to your morning, getting a lift off that guy. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I probably would have just said not.
Do Uber's drivers in Ireland don't talk to you?
We don't have Uber.
Oh, you don't have Uber?
Well, you have Uber, but it's just a taxi.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just a taxi. Oh, so Uber's not there.
It's really hard, actually, because when I went back, I was like, how the fuck do I get home at night? I did get some free taxi, and the guy was just bitching about Dublin the whole time. So I was like, well, good to be back.
Well, what do you think an Uber driver would be in Ireland? Because you know the stereotype of an Uber driver in LA. Like, what would one be like in Ireland?
Well, what's the stereotype in LA?
I feel like they're all, like what he said, they used to be actors, and they're also like doing something on the side. Like, what would an Irish Uber driver be?
It would be like 18-year-old lads with a souped-up fucking Subaru. Like,
they're white racers.
They're barred out of every pub, and they've got eyebrow piercings, and it's like, argh! And they're just driving on anyway. So you may as well give them a few bucks to fucking give you a lift home.
Yeah, in the city, like in Dublin, it's probably going to be middle-aged men giving out about Dublin. But wait, that's already the taxi drivers in Dublin. But I think it's strange down the country. I can't imagine people would like to do it. You see, everybody likes to get a lift home from the pub. Nobody wants to drive there and drive back. So I don't know what it works.
The boy racers, swear to God. Like in every town in Ireland, there's already a bunch of lads just looking at their exhaust pipe. You know, Fast and the Furious fans just revving engines and smoking cigarettes. Like, so
they may as well get paid for it.
Yeah, they may as well get paid.
I think this is a great idea. I think it's going to happen if any of them end up listening to this podcast. Probably not.
But tell them to listen.
Yeah.
We're friends with the boy racers. Okay.
Tori, have I seen boy racers here? I don't think so. I got really high pitched there.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Katie's accent, when she first came here, I couldn't understand. She's like, I went to a store the other day, and oh my God, avocado. And I was like, Katie, what are you? I was like, you're like a rainbow. If a rainbow could talk, that would be Katie. And when you were talking about the Uber, Katie's the one talking to the Uber driver, and I'm not even hungover. I'm just like a New Yorker. I'm like, shut up. Like, what are you? And she's like, oh my God, it's loving you. Like, me in New York, all we do is make fun of how amazing and happy Katie is. So I was like, I got to get to Ireland.
I'm only really nice to them because I don't want to give them a really big tip. So, I'm like, I'll give them 20%, but you feel really guilty because they send you like a message and stuff afterwards. And I'm like, so I'm not going higher than 20%.
Well, you shouldn't be giving out your number, Katie.
They have it in the Lyft app. They text you. They're
okay,
like,
it's okay.
They're like,
I know, new country. You want to meet new people. I get it. It's hard to make friends.
I did give my number to a guy on the street actually the other night. I just panicked because, well, do you know what? I was wearing Lamford Ga shorts, and he stopped me and he said, nice basketball shorts. And I was like, excuse you, these are actually football shorts. And then he asked for my number and I got panicked and I gave it. And now he won't stop texting me. His last text message was, if you don't want to talk, that's fine. And I was like, I thought by me not responding would have.
That sounds quite crazy. I would be scared of that man, to be honest.
Why is there not like, is there a different etiquette for ghosting somebody in America?
I think they're much more like I feel like Irish lads, if you don't text them back once, they'll just be grand. They'd be too embarrassed to text you again. But here they're like, their confidence, their egos. They're like, there's no way she's ghosting me. She has to be in love with me. There's, you know, and they'll just keep.
I'm fucking amazing.
What do you think, Tori?
Well, Katie, we wanted to ask because me and Katie think there's like a new type of fuckboy in America.
Yeah. Right, these Katie? Motherfuckers.
Katie says it's the type of guy. Wait, I don't want to butcher it. Katie, say it.
So you know the way like in Ireland, I guess a fuckboy will be considered like a player, like someone who just hits you and leaves you. Goodbye. But here, what they do is
just digging the curtains and just fucks off.
Yeah. You know, but even in Ireland, like I haven't had a lot of one night stands back home, but the ones I did, they would stay over the night, you know, they wouldn't be like, I'm in and out. Whereas I guess that's what you would consider a player. But here, what they do now is, what the fuckboys do is they tell you how beautiful you are and how amazing and how they've never met anyone like you and, oh God, they really wanted to date someone like you, and then they have sex with you and then you never hear from them again. So it's like they emotionally fuck you, whereas you're like, I would have been grand just having sex, but now you've convinced me that I am amazing. Oh, I want to date this person. And then, yeah, so it's kind of like they mess with your head a little.
They're a level two fuckboy.
Yeah.
They'd be mind fucking y'all. 100%.
Are lads just afraid to be honest and say, like, do you want the ride? Like, do you think, is that it? Are they building it up to like, oh, no, no, I'm not like that, but they are like.
Yeah. I think so.
No, they'll.
I think that they know because I'm like, I give off very like innocent Irish vibes. I think they're like, oh, if we say it's just sex, that I won't fuck them. So I think they're like, oh, let's just like be like, oh, I want to get married. And I'm like, I'd rather the other option. The other option. I don't want to get married.
Oh, I want to get married. Will you shut up the fuck? Jesus.
What do you think, Tori?
Well, I've noticed there is this like weird thing where they're like, oh my God, like they compliment you. They like shower you in compliments, but they're also showering like five other girls in the same thing. They're like, you're amazing. You're beautiful, Veronica. I'm like, no, Tori. They're like, oh, okay. Oh no, but, or they'll tell you like, oh, you know, like, I'm not a commitment guy. Like they won't straight out say, hey, I don't want a relationship with you. I have so much fun hanging out. They'll go around it. They'll be like, I'm not a relationship. They always like name themselves. They're like, I'm not a relationship guy. You know, girls can't take me. I'm like, wait, so are you telling me you don't want a relationship? He's like, what? I'm just being honest. I'm like, no, you're not. You literally just told the wall the thing instead of me.
Like that? Is that? Because I haven't been home in 6 years, like full time. What's it like back home now? Are lads? Is there like fucky boys? Well, like,
all the guys I have sex with. Well.
They always stay over.
Yes, we make French toast in the morning. Brew coffee.
At least they make you breakfast.
All good.
If you were like, if your lads were saying that they were doing that, carry on, like, wouldn't you? I just feel like Irish lads be a bit more embarrassed to be like that. Like getting a comp, you could be dating a lad for like an Irish lad for 4 months before he could give you a proper, like, oh, I like it.
Yeah. lads are just like, Irish men in particular never show emotion. But like one of our mates who's a girl was saying that, you know, she's on Tinder or whatever. And she's just kind of at a point now where she doesn't really want a fella. She kind of just wants a lad to ride now and again. And she was just saying with lads, they'd ghost you rather than just say, hey, do you want to call over like twice a week and we'll just shag each other and you can go away home. And then the lads would be like, ah, like that's exactly what they want. But they're like, I don't know. Cause, and then they just ignore you rather than actually have the conversation and say, yeah, we should just fuck like casually.
I think
yeah.
Irish lads don't want to be seen.
Yeah.
To be just after the right. Like it's just not, don't have some sort of confidence. We're missing that. Maybe American lads have that. Look, I think Irish lad would be afraid to message a girl on Tinder and be like, hey, do you want to have sex? And then he's afraid that like she'll tell everyone in town. Well, how rude this prick was.
He's a fucking pedophile.
It's more about a town thing. Okay.
You know, I that could be it, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, no, 100%. Like if a fella texts a girl and was like, you know, sex ? Like when he went downtown the next day, they'd be like, I hear you're into fucking wicked shit now. You're into some sick shit. It's like, no, I just wanted to have sex with someone of the opposite sex.
And then there's some lads like, we're talking about in our podcast about dick pics is still a big thing. And why are Irish lads like, you know, they go from too shy to make eye contact on how you're getting on and you smell your fatter, straight to sending you a photo of their genitals. Like, where is the middle ground gone, ladies?
I think it's the weirder the person, the more like elaborate and thought out the dick pic. Cause I feel like the more fratty guys I've been with and like the worst dick pic, but like the weird guys that you don't expect, I'm like, oh, that's like a nice dick pic. Like not that's nice. It just, yeah, they know how to like take the angles. Like they take a lot. You'll find that a lot in America. You'll find a lot of guys in America that like are good at sex, but you won't think they're good at sex. Because they're like weird.
No one sends me dick pics. Not in Ireland, not here. I must be missing out on this dick pic phenomenon.
It's that, it, as you said earlier on, it's that innocent Irish vibe you're giving off, you know. I think that's what it is. But like, listen, now that you've said it,
Yeah, Katie, now every person, Katie, give out your number on this podcast. I'll give it out for you.
Yeah, what I understood there, Katie.
I have it here, yes.
What I understood there, Katie, was you were basically looking for dick pics. Is that's all I've taken from our last conversation.
She's searching for dick pics. She's going to ask the Uber driver.
It's like when I'm in the bedroom and it's like sexy and you're all, but like a dick out of context is just not attractive, you know?
This is what a girl does with a dick pic, ready? She gets a dick pic and she calls her friend. She's like, look at it.
Oh, yes.
I'm not like sitting there like masturbating. I'm sending it to every one of my friends.
Yes, I've gotten dick pics and they're all from Tori. Okay.
Nice.
So you just want them when you're in the bedroom. You need, like, you know, a big red Batman phone. This is my dick pic phone.
Yeah.
So get the dick phone.
The person, like, dicks are attractive when you're, like, hot and turned on and stuff, but, like, an actual dick is it, they're kind of, like, funny looking, you know, they're floppy and you got your balls. Well,
like, a guy could deceive you. You could be texting a really hot guy and he could send you, like, a stunt dick. You could, like, Google image big, nice dicks. Like.
True. Yeah.
I wanted to ask another question because I feel like guys in America recently, I've noticed, will go, like, out of their way to cheat on a girl. Like, instead of just ending things, they'll, like, create another Instagram account or get another phone. Like, do you guys in Ireland do that too?
Very dramatic.
I don't know how anyone has time for that.
Yeah.
I don't know either.
Like, just looking at our group of friends and like, our male friends, like, they just want a woman. They'll never cheat on her. They just want a fucking woman. They don't care what she's like.
They are such degenerates. They can't get one woman to cheat on. Never mind a string of women. So
I think, like, in New York, and you might have noticed it in LA as well, it's just there's just so many people, and then the people don't want to commit because they're afraid they'll get something better, and then they don't, I guess the cheating is easier than risking. I don't know. Yeah, I guess they can cheat.
Talking about American men, I have to say, one thing us Irish lads should probably take from the American guys is, like, the confidence they have. So they'll walk up to a woman in a supermarket and be like...
Or on the street because she's wearing Longford shorts.
Yes, and just casually walk up and be like, you look good. You know, do you want to come on a date sometime? Irish men will not speak to a woman. Like, the pubs have closed now, so Irish men stopped talking to women in March. Just period. It stopped. When the pubs were in business, like, you'd probably chat to a bird around 2 o'clock in the morning when you're just like, when you can't lift your head. You know, Irishmen after drink lose the ability in their neck.
Neck's so gone.
They're just, and then they're just like, you're fucking lovely. So you are like, you want to come back to my place? And they think, like, that's totally acceptable. And it's,
yeah, he's very good at chatting up women, that fella. You know?
it's so true. Like, because I have had guys ask for my number on the subway, walking up to me on the street, like, all those type of things. And, like, I set Tori up with an Irish lad over here, and she was like exactly what you said. Like, he was hammered drunk. She was like, is this, like, I guess for him, maybe that's all he needed for the confidence.
He was too honest. He was like, I haven't gotten laid in so long. And then he, like, kissed me. I was like, what? Like, I wish I could remember. He kept being like, drink. I was like, I don't want to. He's like, she'll take a pint. I was like, I don't want to drink. Like, this guy, like, didn't know. We were, like, the complete opposites. And then he asked me, like, in the beginning, he was like, oh, that's cool, you're from New York. And then by the end, he was like, you like being Jewish? He, like, looked at me. I was like, this is the worst. Meanwhile, I called Katie. I was like, Katie, in the beginning of the date, before the date, she's like, oh, he's going to be lovely. Like, if anything, it'll be a good joke. By the end of the date, I'm like, I called her. I'm like, where did you meet this guy? He's an alcoholic. She's like, oh, he comes to my bar every day.
Craigslist.
I thought she'd be so good with an Irish lad, because Tori's so confident and Irish lads need that, you know, a nice confident American girl. But I didn't predict the alcoholism, and it makes sense since he comes to my bar every day. I just really wasn't thinking.
A lot of Irishmen just need mothers.
Yeah.
Honestly. No, just mothers.
Motors?
Mothers.
A mother.
I'm gonna have to start.
I'm like, a mother?
No, they do. I think honestly.
Mothers.
My friends now are getting to that age. We're all approaching 30. And I think they're just, in the next year or two, they're going to lower their standards, and they're basically just going to look for someone that just looks after them. Someone who washes up after them, gets their dinner ready. And honestly, Irish men go from, like, their mammy looking after them to then finding a woman, and then she just becomes your mammy. Honestly, I think that's the way it is.
It's so true, because even, like, with me, when I was back in Ireland, I was in a long-term relationship, but I was in college and working full-time. And then I remember one time my boyfriend giving out to me that I never make him sandwiches.
Jesus.
I was like, well, I will never have time to make sandwiches, so.
You come back to Ireland, your Tinder profile should just be an iron and some iron shirts.
And a toasted cheese sandwich.
Here's a lamb chop I cooked earlier. Yeah,
there's definitely some fella from Kinnegad's at home just wanking on, fucking, she's so fucking good at ironing. Jesus.
Where's your crate off that floor?
Wait, so what do you think it is about? Because you know how Americans are obsessed with the show Normal People?
Yeah.
Do you guys know that? You know that, right? Okay. So what do you think? Well, I don't know. What do you think it is about, like, the actor? Wait, Katie, what's his name, the actor in it?
Paul Mescal.
What do you think it is about him, the characteristic he has of an Irish guy that, like, every American girl is obsessed with?
Oh, he's in fairness to him, he does depict an Irish fella, like, very well. Obviously, he is an Irish man. But, I mean, that awkwardness he has, that is exactly what almost 98% of Irishmen have when a woman is in the room. It's like, you know, he's kind of going to her, "I like you, Marianne." And it takes him fucking 8 episodes to do it. But, like, eventually he does it. And that's what Irishmen are like. They need to be warmed up. They need to be kind of led into it.
I think women like a fixer-upper.
Okay, so American girls want
Paul,
that. Okay.
Or his
Connell.
Connell is like, he's handsome and he's, you know, sporty and honest and intelligent, but you know, the roof is leaking and you know, he needs a coat of paint, he needs new carpets on him, you know. So, women are like, I'll take him and I'll get him.
He's a project. Yeah. Irish men are projects, you know, you gotta take him on, put some work into him. They're like flowers. You get flowers every fucking day. You got to prune them. You got to water them. You got to make sure they're still alive.
You have to shave them, you know.
It's exactly like a man, an Irish man.
This is why I can't have an Irish boyfriend over here. I, like, killed a plant after a week in the pandemic. So I'd be just...
There you go.
I know.
Like, no, considering that all Irish men, you know, Katie, are alcoholics, it's definitely not a good start.
I need lots of liquid.
Can I ask you, because you just said there about shaving them, you went in the show, you were joking about, or maybe it was in your podcast, you were talking about manscaping. Is that something Irish lads do now, or is that something that, like, you feel the pressure to do?
Irishmen have changed massively. They're starting to look after themselves. Honestly, I like, even our group of friends, like, we have friends who are farmers, and, like, even they're starting to look good. But, like, for us, it's like, you got to look after yourselves. Like, if you trim your balls, you know, trim your chest.
The hair on your balls.
Yeah, don't cut your balls. And you should have a hairy back. I mean, Irish men, even fashion-wise, they're starting to, like, get into themselves.
Obviously not us, personally. Yeah, like,
we're in casual gear today. But, like, we went on the Late Late Show back home, and, like, I had, like, jeans on, skinny jeans, and, like, you could see my ankles, like, which is, like, the ankles out, which is kind of all the go now for men. But, like, some Irish men were like, "That's cool." And then the rest of them were like, "Fucking Egypt. Where's the socks? Can you not afford socks?" It's like, that's fucking ill, man.
Wow.
So, different kind of bits of the spectrum, I think, John. But, like, you've manscaped a bit.
Oh, yeah. If you grew up watching porn, you just, you know, get the razors out and just trim it back. It's hygienic and, you know, it's fun for everybody. A friend of ours moved home recently and was so he's in the bathroom with trimming away, and then when he comes out, his mother's like, "What were you doing?" And he still has a full beard.
Oh my god.
How do you tell your mother, "Just trimming my pubes, mama"?
I can't understand why anyone has pubes, though. They're fucking rotten.
Do you think on women as well, do you think they're rotten?
Oh yeah, I'd be, you know, not down there at all.
Less is more.
Really?
I would go as far as to get laser. Honestly. Since I first started growing pubes, I was like, they're rotten. I just never liked
them. You never liked them.
I say I'm the first Irishman to shave them. You know what I mean? I'm going to patent that.
Why, do you have a differing view on pubes?
I keep them trim, but I just like my vagina with them on. I think it looks, I don't know. And also, I just don't know. I've just always had them. I've always trimmed them. No one ever told me when I was younger what to do with them. And it wasn't until I got older. It's very polarizing over here. Like, half the women are full bush, half the women are naked. And I'm just here in the middle going, "Oh, I just like to trim." But no guy has ever complained or anything, but they have been like, "Oh, they've only ever seen extremes as well." So I don't know. That's interesting that you're like, bleh. There's your...
Well, that's very 2007.
Yeah, there you go. You know,
makes sense. Very 2007. You're like, ew. Wait until 2020 gets there. You're going to be like, "I miss a bush." Wait until, like, laser hair removal is all the rage over there.
You see, it's 2007 here in Tipperary, and, like, Brazilians have just arrived. to know.
Okay.
That's kind of where we're at.
Well, I tried to wax my vagina once and I couldn't pull the straps off. It was actually my Debs and my, okay. So prom for our American listeners. And my family all came
to
a prom, okay? So I put the wax on.
Oh, it was prom.
Yeah. And like, I wouldn't look as well. I'm lucky because I quite have a lot of blonde hair, so I wouldn't be very hairy anyway. But so I didn't know where to put it. So I just stuck it all over my vagina, couldn't pull them off, went downstairs in my Debs dress with wax strips stuck to my flaps. And then when my cousin
pulled it off eventually.
My cousin, I had to wait till she came and I was like, I have wax strips stuck to me. Can you come up and pull it off for me? And she came up like the hero that she is and pulled off my vagina.
This is before you went out to the dance.
Yeah, but I was a good hour like downstairs getting photos in my dress with fucking vagina fucking wax on my vagina.
I hope it was a flowy dress.
Body count.
It was kind of tight to dress, in fairness, but yeah, so that probably just turned me off the whole thing. And it's also money, like, for women to go, I don't even get my nails done, so I'm just like, I'll just trim it. But I went to my gynecologist. Now, I've said this on the podcast, but for you lads, not that you need to know this because you don't have a vagina, but just in case you ever see a girl with vagina hair, my gynecologist says she's on a war path to try and get women to stop fully shaving it off because there was a high increase of genital warts, herpes, and stuff like that, that actually your pubes protect you. It's like, acts like a shield. It doesn't stop it, but it protects you. And it helps against bacteria and stuff like that. So it's actually very healthy for you.
Katie, so there
you go. That's why you have the pubes.
Katie, yeah. You need
to protect.
What did you say?
I don't know if that's science. I would have thought like pubes are that's how you get pubic lice.
Yeah.
I've always been scared by head lice. So then like, I don't want to take the chance down there.
That's why he never puts his head down there.
So basically you see that beard, there's just nothing from the whole way down.
Right.
But
how long does that take? That seems like a lot of, you shave or you like laser, you chest?
I've got an electric razor.
That's how long is that? It's a long process.
15, 20 minutes, yeah.
What do you do? What's the once a week? What are you doing?
I probably go once every 3 weeks or that now. Because I like a little bit. Wow. You know what I mean? Even on my chest, I like a little bit. It's pretty hairy now at the moment, actually. I'm not going
to. That's why it's zipped up all the way. Yeah, your sweatshirt.
Zipped up all the way. See, it's a little bit there now at the moment. It's not
that's
made,
good.
Right.
Yeah.
But see, let me just say something. Back here in 2020, girls actually really like chest hair. Like all of my friends, we all say how much we like guys with chest hair. I think because we like a few years ago, no one had it anymore. So now we want what we didn't have.
I had just shaved off all my chest hair. And then fucking Zac Efron brought that show out on Netflix. And he's going around with a fucking hairy chest. I was like, fucking anyway, I just can't win.
Yeah, he's a god. But... the last guy I was seeing, he shaved everywhere. And like, I was lying on his chest and it felt like stubbly. And then when I was like riding him on top, this is very graphic, but it hurt my vagina because it was like a razor burn. And I said it to him, I was like, are you doing that for me? And he was like, yeah, my ex wanted it. And I was like, well, don't. I'd rather you be hairy and not fucking have a sore vagina afterwards.
Yeah, there's a fine line. You got to have a bit of stubble, I think. You know,
yeah.
You
don't want to
be... not stubble,
a little cushion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to reevaluate all my shaving techniques now. This is really.
Oh no, I feel awful.
It's so hard to be a human, isn't it? Like all the shit.
Fucking shit, man. I wish I was a fucking, not a bird. I don't like birds. I wish I was like a fucking.
Is that hairy chest thing like a reaction to all the kind of fitness influencer dudes on Instagram wax or shave or whatever to make their chest look more defined?
Yeah, I shaved mine and was like, fuck, where's my six pack?
So is this hairy chest movement pushing back against that?
I don't know. I've never taken a poll, but I don't know, amongst my friends, that's what I guess we like.
Yeah, it's very manly, you know, and men are getting, and it's totally fine if you want to like get more feminine, and that's fine. And even Irish lads I saw when I went back, they're wearing like long t-shirts and more stylish and stuff like that. But I know for a lot of women who like that kind of manly, like grizzly, like stubble beard, hairy chest comes with that. It's like, it's sexy, you know, you're like, ooh, he's going to maybe beat me, but don't.
do you ever see like the old James Bond movies, like Sean Connery takes his top off and he's got like 3 inches of hair all over his chest. He's a man. And then you see Daniel Craig now, and okay, he could probably like lift a horse. But like totally shaped.
Yeah.
Sign of the times.
It is. It's just, and also as well, there's this huge thing coming back of like natural stuff in general, like fucking tea tree oil and loads of girls. I'll always shave my armpits, but if you don't want to shave them, that's fine. But that's coming into New York where lots of people aren't shaving their armpits as well. It's all going au naturel.
That so, to me is like, I feel that, I feel about like girls not shaving their armpits about like you with the pubes. It's like, why? Like, it's so gross. I don't know if girls are going to hate me after this, but it's like, just fucking shave. It's one scoop. It's like, I'm doing this for me. I'm like, really? You smell. Don't do this for you. I don't want to be near you.
Well, hold on. Well, if you're not going to shave your armpits, just wear deodorant, definitely. But I wonder if like, you know, because I was thinking about in the olden days, you know, like in the 1800s, and they had hairy armpits. Did that stop them from sweating? Did it grab the sweat? Like, is that why we have hair in our armpits? I don't. Again, that's because society would make me feel too embarrassed. But
I've heard that if you shave your armpits, you're less likely to sweat.
Oh, really? Okay, so there you go. Well, I've always shaved. It's like brushing your teeth, you know?
Yeah. It's not that... I haven't seen a woman up close with hairy armpits.
A lot of female comedians over here would be more, because they really like the Brooklyn scene, and that's more alty and kind of bohemian anyway, and they're very like outspoken about that stuff. So
isn't for the environment or anything, is it? There's other ways to help.
Yeah, like you know, like don't use single use plastics.
Yeah.
But do shave your armpits.
Yeah. Right.
Get rid of the straws, but remove the hair.
Yeah.
I think it's more to get like attention. Like they think they're like, I don't want to be with society. It's like more of, I feel like it's more of like an attention thing.
Yeah.
What do you think, Katie?
I think nowadays people just stand for stuff, you know, because it's just something to be fucking seen with. More
cool
so
than, to be standing for something.
Yeah.
Even if it's really armpits.
Yeah, look, Well, I'm sure there is as well. There is probably women who are just like, I just don't want to do that. I couldn't be arsed. So that's fine as well. Like, whatever you're...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lazy.
Sorry, Tori. You go ahead.
No. This isn't about pubes or anything. This is like nothing about bodily parts. Wait, so in your show, when you did the show in, I think, what was it, a restaurant or a bar? You were saying, you're like, oh, this feels so weird for people to not know who we are. Are there any, because me and Katie will talk about like, oh, remember the early days of comedy when we started, it was like fun, open mics and running around. Do you have any like funny stories of like early shows you had, or like bad sketch ideas that you're now you could like laugh at and you're just like, what the fuck?
Well, we never did like any open mic nights, or never opened for anyone else, because we were lucky in that we made a bit of noise on the internet, and then our first gig, it was a couple hundred people there. And so we've had a weird experience in that.
You had the opposite experience.
Yeah.
Started out so successful. You just woke up in a success. You're like, oh, okay. I guess this suits me.
Now we're fucking shit.
No.
We're washed up.
Well, I don't know. So that was, we've always had good support in Ireland. And then once we went abroad, it can be weird or all right. Like,
yeah, I put it this way. There was like one particular time we went to New York, and like this guy, we'd only been... Like,
it was our first time going.
Yeah, we'd only just started the Two Johnnies. We were maybe like 6 months or a year in, and we both still had our normal jobs. We hadn't gone full time and stuff at this stage. And this guy rang us up, an American guy, and was like, I love the craft beer sketch you did. We never done a sketch on craft beer ever. But like, we weren't going to tell this guy. We were like, oh yeah. And he was like, I'd love to get you guys out to New York and do some gigs in my bar. You know, I was like, we've got a function room and everything. We were like, oh my God, this fucking fella is going to pay us to come to New York. Like, we'd never been anywhere really. And then he was like, yeah, we'll fly you out for a week. We'll put you up, and there might not be much money, but like, we can maybe give you something. But they were going to put us up for a week and fly us to New York. We'd never been anywhere. We'd had around 5 gigs at this stage. We were like deadly. Got to New York, told him like we needed 2 mics, needed a guitar cable, all the kind of stuff we needed for our show back home, which we were in total control of. Then we got to New York, and there was 2 mics and a guitar cable, and that was it. No lights, no nothing. He told us he closed the bar. He didn't close the bar. The bar was open. Around 500 Irish people turned up out to Woodlawn, which is fucking crazy at the best of times. And then we were in the corner on a little stage trying to do stand-up comedy. And then one of the microphones stopped working. And then the cable for the guitar stopped working. So for around 15 minutes, it's me and Johnny passing the mic over and back trying to tell jokes to a bunch of pissed Irish people who are like, what are they saying? What, are the boys good? It's like, oh, and I remember coming off stage that night and just been like, fuck that, I'm not doing comedy anymore.
Wow.
But then a few people that we had made friends with handed us like quadruple Jägermeister and Red Bulls. And we had a fucking great night.
It was the best week. It was the best week of our lives. We were just pissed for a whole week. Brilliant.
Well, the shows got better as well.
Yeah, right? We done another show in a proper function room and it went well. Yes.
But that's very New York experience. That would have been a lot of mine and Tori's first experiences over here were shows like that. We once did 40 minutes each in a hostel with no microphone, I think, for people who spoke French. So there was a translator translating our jokes. Do you remember that, Tori? That was a fucking nightmare.
Of course I do remember. It was like, it felt like being on TV. There was like a delay. I was like, finally, I've made it. I felt like I was doing my like late night set. They'd be like, doo-doo-doo-doo, and they'd be like, oh, and I'd be like, oh, honestly, it felt good.
So, because we obviously both, me and Tori both started in New York around the same time. So I didn't start comedy in Ireland. What was it like? Like for us, you know, it's a big city. You can kind of, you don't really know people. It's fine. But what was it like starting at home where your friends and your family? I guess because you already had the podcast. But even doing the podcast, were people supportive at the start? Or?
Well, for our first gigs, we didn't have podcasts. We were just doing like sketches and funny songs and shit online. But so, you know, when you're starting, like our first ever gig, we wrote it. We had to do a full fucking
hour and a half,
like it was our first time ever doing a show. And so, you know, for an hour and a half of laughs, you're pulling from like things that actually happened to you, like a funny thing that happened to you and your friends and all, because you got to come up with 90 minutes of material in a week. Whatever.
Fuck, you're using everything you can remember.
Yeah,
right. So,
and then you're looking out into the audience and you're telling a story and it's like, fuck, there's the guy. This happened to him. He is the butt of my joke.
Right. So
it was one thing to, you know, do podcasts, but when you can see the white of somebody's eyes and he's in the third row, it's like, that's the guy I'm making fun of right now.
Yeah, we've been lucky because, like, we're living in a small enough town and everybody kind of, you know, like, at the start it was kind of like, oh, the boys are a bit crazy, you know, and then it was like, we don't really care anymore. And now, honestly, nobody gives a shit. Like, bar, obviously, when our television show went out, like, because in Ireland, television is still pretty big. Like, you know, it's like a big deal to be on TV. Yeah. And then, like, everybody was like, I've seen you on the telly. Like, I can't believe people are paying you to do that. And it was kind of, it's crazy in that sense. But a lot of the time, they just don't care. And our friends don't even care. Our friends never come up to us and are like, what was this like? Or what was that like? Or what was the TV like? They just treat us completely normal, which is good for us because that's all we want. Like, you
know? Yeah, we're like, keep doing stupid shit. We're taking notes.
Yeah. I know. I always find, do you find that like, would people be like, oh, is this going to go in your act? You know?
Oh, yeah. All the time. Yeah. Someone like one of our friends are like drunk or something and they say something and like they can see us looking at each other and they're just like, oh, for fuck's sake. Where am I going to hear that now? So, yeah. But I want to just thank all our friends because there is no way we'd be where we were if they weren't such degenerates, you know.
Exactly. So, like, sometimes I think I like to pick friends that are more funnier and crazier than me because they give me the stories. Like, I think sometimes as a comic, like, obviously you're a funny person, but I think you surround yourself with crazier people. Like, I'm kind of like not quiet with my friends, but I kind of just like sit back and listen, and then I'm on stage, I do an impression of them, they're like, wait, that was me. I was like, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, she has about 5 minutes of an impression of me.
Oh, I can't wait to hear that.
Tori, do your Irish accent for lads.
Well, no, I get nervous doing my impression of Katie because one time I did it at a show and afterwards she's like, the whole bit was like how Katie like talks like this and oh, she's so excited and ooh, everything's so innocent and ooh, ooh, ooh. And I did it and afterwards she's like, oh, I don't sound like that. And I was like,
I'm sorry.
And she was upset about something else. And I was like, Katie, and I like never want to hurt Katie. And she's like, oh, well, oh, I don't think it's very nice. And people say, no, it's not like it.
I wasn't upset about you doing the impression.
She's getting, see what you guys, you started a fight for me at 9:45 in the morning in LA.
Wow.
Well, it's 12:46 here and 5:46 in theirs. That wasn't why I was annoyed. It was a different thing, but I can't remember. It wasn't about the accent. It was because, oh, I just said to you, you did a very start. You like said top of the morning or something at some stage. That was
No, I didn't say top of the morning. I just was doing your accent. You said you said that's not how I sound. And I go, but how sometimes people impersonate. I go, but sometimes how people impersonate someone is not exactly how they sound, it's how they hear them in their head. Like, I'm not doing an amazing impression of Katie, but I'm doing that. She's so excited. You know what I mean? So,
no, and you're right. Yeah. She, and it's very funny. No, we're going to cut that out.
No, no, keep it raw. Let's keep it raw.
Let's keep it raw. But you're right about with the crazy friends. Like, I don't do that with my friends, but I do. I definitely, there must be some reason why I picked these crazy men to date. Like, and it always does turn out to be comedy. And I'm always like, why can't I ever find a good man? But then I have such great stories by these crazy guys. So I think subconsciously, I'm like, you're insane. I'm going to date you.
Yeah. Straight off. Some of those bad decisions are probably great jokes.
Yeah.
Right. Now, when you guys do your live performance, is it more just like stories about guys, or do you ever talk about dating, or you really keep that separate?
Well, our shows now were mostly live podcasts. So we would do some stand-up comedy about whatever, and then we'd get into a topic. But the topics live kind of have to be that bit juicier. Because, you know, if you're in the car or listening to it, you could be giving your mother a lift. Or you're, you know, on a construction site. But when it's a live podcast, everybody's having a few drinks. They want to hear about, you know, you had sex with the neighbor and the dog came in and there was a fight. You know, they want to hear the juicy stuff. So in comedy, people love hearing about sex stories gone wrong, don't they?
Yeah. I love telling them.
Have you ever had have you ever talked about someone you've dated and then they like been like, hey, stop talking about me?
Now the first half, yes. The second half, no.
Most girls are like, please say more.
I'd say a lot of girls are just hoping they'll make it into the material.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm just saying, like, a lot of stuff that we talk about, like, is like I've got a missus and stuff, and then like sometimes she'll do something and be like, don't fucking say that on the podcast now. So it's like, even she's thinking like, I better not say that, or he'll, but nothing's off bounds. I don't care. If something funny happens, I don't care who done it, who it's about, we will say it.
Is there ever like a limit that you're like, okay, this is so funny, but I'm not going to say this because I think it might hurt them? Have you ever had that situation? Or you just go for it?
That's probably one of our problems, is that we don't have a limit. I think if it's going to get someone in actual trouble, but a lot of times we'll tell it and not name who it is.
Yeah. Right.
So it's like, well, a friend of ours, you know, and sometimes that could actually be ourselves. So we'll change who it's about. But I think the joke, if the joke, like, we'll say anything to make you laugh.
If you're telling a story about a friend of ours, say, and we do an impression of him. So just our friends know who we're talking about. And it's like, oh, I can't believe, you know, he had sex with a dog. But then no one else will know who it's about. So it's a win-win, you know?
I guess as well, like the other thing as well, people, there's no association. So for the broader scheme, but people, like, I find guys will say that to me before they date me. They're like, I don't want to be in your fucking comedy act. And you're like, you're going to be.
Yeah. Or like, I did a video about on TikTok. I was like, oh, this is when you know a guy's really single. Cause the joke is that he has a 2-in-1 for shampoo and conditioner. And I showed him the video and the caption was, this is when you know a guy's really single. Now we're in like the early stages. We're not like boyfriend, girlfriend, but we've decided we're not seeing each other. And he looked at it and he was like, wait, what do you mean? What do you mean I'm really single? Like, I was like, no, that's just like a better caption than to say, like, I'm sure you've dated a bunch before, but he was so like obsessed with that. I was like, no, it's just a better caption. So I think girls have a harder time with comedy stuff. I don't know. I think it's just like a little harder for.
Yeah, maybe like, cause like we'll say stuff when we're on TV or when we're like doing a show, and it's kind of like almost not the characters we play, but it's like the heightened versions of us saying it, and it's not really kind of sometimes what we think. Well, at least that's what we have to tell, you know, those near.
Right.
But
that's what people have to remember as well. Because I put up an Instagram story like, oh, because I was wearing my Lomford shorts and I was actually meeting someone to go on a date. And I was like, oh, like, you know, joking, like I'm going on a date in Ga shorts. And the amount of people who messaged me being like, oh, I can't believe you're off the market now and stuff. And I was like, what? Like, this is just, I'm going on a date. But people kind of take what you say very seriously, or they kind of they don't even get the joke sometimes. Maybe you're like, maybe it's just a bad joke. Maybe they just thought this was a maybe I need to work on my writing skills.
Well, there you go. There's a load of guys slipping into your DMs. It's a good start anyway.
Yeah, but that's just any
you're
woman on Instagram.
So many dick pics now. It's going to be incredible.
Yeah. Oh my God, so many. I'm so excited. I want... Nothing I was going to say was important. It was just about dick pics. I'm sure what were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say, so I know you're in a serious relationship and one of you is a single, right? So, you're dating? I got really high pitched. I love love, so I'm always happy when people.
A one, as we say here.
That's great. So, when you were in America, neither of you were single?
I suppose, yeah.
No, I haven't been single in ages yet.
No, I just met her before I went to America. So it was
early days.
Yeah. Early days, yeah.
Oh, okay. So I was going to ask you, so have you ever dated an American at all or tried the apps over there before, even when you were?
No, actually.
Our friend did. Like we've got friends who live in New York as well. I'm not going to fucking reveal their names, but they'll probably listen to this. But he was saying that like one night he brought an American girl home and it was his first time, like, you know, having sex with an American girl. He said it was fucking crazy. Like, he was like, he plays music, and she was like, can you sing to me? And he's like, ah, for fuck's sake, I thought we were going riding here, like, you know. And she's like, do some of your routine. And he's like, fuck. And he couldn't believe how confident the American girls were. So the Irish girls are like, you know, you get in the room, she's like, right, take your clothes off, turn the fucking lights off, don't look at me, tickle me neck twice on the right hand side, but other than that, yeah, keep your fucking hands where I can see them.
Get under the covers now.
It's basically an instruction manual. And he said, like, he came into the room with the American girl, and after around 3 minutes, he was like, am I in a porno? She was like on the fucking mantel, you know, the like bedside locker. And she was like looking in the mirror and then she was like, take me. And he was like, what? Where do you want me to take you? And she's like, no, take me. And he's like, listen, fucking, I don't want any of this funky shit now. Let's just do it.
Just riding.
Yeah, no, he said it was one, some of the best sex he ever had. But like, he said he felt so awkward. She wanted him to like have sex with her in the mirror. And he said every time he was like trusting into her, he was looking in the mirror going, oh, fuck. Fucking, Jesus, the state of me. But he finished, didn't he?
That is true. I wonder as well if one of your friends is the guy that Tori went on the date with. But
Wait, did you have sex in front of a mirror?
No. But that's definitely something. I'm very narcissistic, so I wouldn't be surprised. I'm always like, let's go to the bathroom and have sex. And they're like, why? I'm like, what do you mean, why? And then I just look at myself. It's quite fun, actually, to look at yourself.
Let's go to the bathroom to have sex. Why? I love the smell of shit. It's like a bathroom is like the least, what a shower is good. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, shower sex is great. Well, because I had an Irish lad friend as well. He said the exact same as your friend. Like, he went back, had sex with her, and she was started putting like eggs up her vagina. Like, she was some sort of, she said it makes her tighter. And then as I found out, she actually is friends with Tori through some weird way. So I don't know how we found that out.
Yes.
Maybe that's because of the eggs or something.
Just, I'm guessing those eggs are like some sort of like, you know, like, are they like, you know, sex ties or vibrate? Like, she's not putting up like, you know, fucking
actual
hen's eggs. Like
did she used to work in Bangkok or what?
Just like a chicken dance.
Putting up some eggs.
No, some sort of porcelain thing. I don't know. It's to show how to tight your vagina. I don't.
Well, how my, because basically, so I'm very close to my mom in New York, and my mom is obsessed with my dogs. Now I think that's a very American thing. She'll do anything for this dog. For me, she'll do nothing. She gets like a dog groomed at her apartment. So somehow the woman starts telling my mom, she's like, oh, I'm dating this guy and I'm going to these sex clubs. And my mom's like, oh yeah. Oh my God. That's great. Next thing I know, my mom's like, Katie, you know this girl. I'm like, how? And then find out Katie's friend used to date her. And now I'm hearing it from Katie telling me that she's crazy. And my mom is like, think she's entertaining.
And not even that she's crazy, but wild just sex life for a poor sex. Irish guy. You know, he was like, I've never experienced so much sex toys. And I guess she was talking about bringing him sex clubs. I don't know if he went to a sex club in the end, but he was like, he called me being like, I think I'm going to die, but you know, the sex is great. So fuck it. But like, this is where I'll be if you don't hear from me in a few days.
Is he a comedian? He's probably just looking for more content, is he?
No, he's not at all. I've been saying to him for years he should be a comedian, but he's not. He's just a regular lad.
He must be rich. keep his willy on ice, I'd say. Jeez.
It's all research. No, he's going to come out with a great 5 minutes out of this sex club, yeah.
I'll have to get him on the podcast sometimes, but I think he'd do more to bite, poor lad. But yeah, he said his sex life totally changed when he moved over here, but I think it's right. I think people here are a bit more confident, a bit more, less shame, and that comes back to even what you saying, the TV show being good in America and regards to Ireland, but people here aren't embarrassed. They don't have it in their brain to be embarrassed or feel shame. A lot of the people I meet anyway, so it's just a different world.
Yeah, the Irish, look, we're bet down for years. There's shame around everything in Ireland. Jesus, if you can't walk down the street, you can't even stand up straight in Ireland. If you've good posture here, you're a prick.
Yeah.
You're walking down the street all straight.
Who does he think he is?
Bet down. New runners. You'd be putting muck and dirt on your new runners before you'd wear them, for fear someone would think you were doing well. Jesus, that's Ireland.
That's so
true. When we were in Miami, we said, just walking on the beach with a camera crew, everybody wanted to get on TV. So Johnny's there with the microphone talking and people are coming up going yo, what? Miami, what? Yeah, we in Lottie. What? Yeah, just coming on trying to be on the camera like this.
Right.
And people would just, we'd be so, what's going on, lads? You here for spring break? And they would just be shouting their Instagram name down the camera.
Oh, my God.
Hit me up, yo. So you definitely would not get that in our.
If that was Ireland, you'd be they'd be walking past going no one would be seeing.
Oh, stop. Yeah,
but I think that's why the guy in Normal People, besides that it takes him so long to say, I think everyone's so out there in America and so I'll tell you my feelings. I think it's nice to have a little bit of mystery. And I think now we're getting to the point where in a guy's I don't have an Instagram, we're that's hot. Cause we're so over these guys that are I've got 200,000. It's nice to have someone who's not into that anymore. Cause everyone's into that.
But Tori, in America, if they don't have an Instagram, it's usually cause they have a wife, it's they have an Instagram.
Possibly.
We just don't
know it. Tori, you should come to Ireland. There's just loads of guys not on social media. They're awkward. They stare at their shoes.
I know. Katie always wants to set me up with an Irish guy. She's always I think you do so well. Meanwhile, that date was one of my best bits on stage. One of the worst dating experiences of mine. He made out with me. He just left his tongue in it was an anchor. Just was and then didn't do anything. I was I don't know. It was pretty bad.
He was probably so drunk he just fell asleep.
Yeah.
He was
snoring.
Wait, you went on a date with an Irish guy and didn't want to drink.
Well, I was taking, right, I guess for him, I must have seen, as much as I think he was crazy, he must have thought I was off the wall. I was on antibiotics, and obviously people say you shouldn't drink, but I think other people drink. I'm very health conscious, so I'm not drinking. And he was just what? He was already, I think, tipsy by the time I got there and nervous, and then telling me his mom was a river dancer, and I was what? And he wanted to do theater, and it was I was I'm your therapist now. This is a lot for me. I wasn't even drinking. I was gotta leave.
But you not wanting to drink is him not having an Instagram. Straight away for Irish people, that's alarm bells. He's on the phone to the boys she doesn't fucking drink.
Yeah.
So what would that make? Someone who doesn't want to drink, is that what is that in their head? Oh, she's going to be boring? Or what does that translate to? Her not drinking?
Some Irish people reckon, never trust a person who doesn't drink.
Interesting.
My grandfather said that.
But it's because if you're the only person not drinking and everybody's going a bit wild, you're kind of a reflection of their messy behavior. And then they're oh, fuck her, not drinking. We're just trying to have the crack where, you're kind of showing them
look at her judging me for shit in the corner of the room. You know what I mean? How dare she drinking fucking water and I'm over here trying to fucking make a show of myself and ruin my whole family's life.
That's it. And come here to me, just lads. You're both in relationships. Were you obviously quarantined together with your partners?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty much
Johnny lives with us.
Yeah. So I live with my missus and between me and Johnny we couldn't be separate. So we kind of just cocooned together, as they say is the term. And in our own little bubble. So for the first 2 months of lockdown, we didn't see anyone except our partners and each other, which to be honest, is not much different than how life normally is.
Right.
So it was great because at the start, just talking about quarantine, and the whole lockdown thing. When we came home, we'd been at home for 7 nights for the first until coronavirus. So we'd actually only been in our beds, our own beds, for like seven nights for the first three months of the year. Like,
wow.
So lockdown came, it was like fucking brilliant. Like, yeah. Slept for like a week, and it was like a break, and then it started getting okay. This is shit. But I mean, at the start, it was fine.
His missus is like, get a hobby, fucking something, get out of the house.
Yeah, fucking hell. The woman's a saint, to be honest. Yeah, Jesus. How she puts up with me and him. She's basically got two boyfriends.
Yeah, we should be asking. I was going to be like, what's the tips for, like, because we're probably going to go into another quarantine here in the winter. And I'm like, actually, I should be probably asking her.
What's that? Yeah, 100%. She'll probably say, like,
she takes a lot of drugs. No.
The Irish response, like, to the first few weeks of lockdown was everyone was pissed. Honestly, Monday, Tuesday, it was like, the Irish people were almost excited to be in quarantine. They were like, let's do a quiz and get drunk. So it was just like, there you are looking at your aunts and uncles on Zoom, and they are drunk as shit.
Yeah. It was like a snow day.
Yeah. It's like 2 weeks of a snow day for the first 2 weeks. And then people were like, shit, now we're all fat and depressed. We're going to have to. Like, then we all went on the fitness bus.
Right.
So it's like different waves in Ireland. Yeah.
I was the same as New York, Tori, I feel.
I think in New York, well, also I'm Jewish, so everyone's a little more anxious. So I think it was much more like, this is serious shit going down. Like, this is serious. And I actually thought, I think I had it, and they wouldn't give me the test. And then I gave it to my mom and this whole thing. But I was just, this is the saddest part. I was in the point, I was moving to LA, like I was planning to before, and I didn't like have any, I like just ended something with someone I couldn't even like look at, but I was so horny. I was like, I can't date someone new. I was scraping the bottom of the barrel of all the, I found one guy. This guy, I somehow picked the most neurotic, nervous guy. I am like literally saying, do you want to have sex? This was like mid-March. He's like, I can't. I'm nervous of COVID. I'm like, why? He's like, because I have a health condition. I'm like, what? He's like, I'm gluten intolerant. How does it do anything with COVID? I'm literally sitting on this guy's lap in the park. We're not even supposed to be outside at 10 o'clock. I'm freezing my ass off so I can get laid. And he's like, I can't. He's all the way over there. Anyway, it was, I think the first few months of COVID was very hard for single people.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm very aware of people that were dying, but I'm just saying on a lighter note, a single people were fucking horny as shit.
Because even when Tori told me that, I was dating someone for the whole quarantine, and he's a bit of a geek. I probably wouldn't have dated him in real life in hindsight. And I knew he was a real geek when I told him about that. I started laughing. I was like, this fucker is like, oh, I have a gluten intolerance. And the guy I was dating was like, that's an autoimmune disease. That's very serious. And I was like, oh, fuck off. But even like, what?
Is it a real disease?
You just can't eat bread, but it's not like bread's floating around in the air. Like, it has nothing to do with
canal.
Shit, it's raining bread.
Yeah, like, now maybe, I'm sure we'll have some gluten heads who'll message me now being like, Katie, it's very serious with the COVID. Don't message me. Yeah, they always message me.
Meanwhile, if any of those people got COVID, they would end up in the hospital, and guess what they would be feeding them? Yeah. Bread. You think they have a gluten-free menu in the hospital? Just saying.
Everybody, just send Katie a big, like, whole grain dick pic.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Inside bread.
I love that. I love bread. But, like, because you guys, obviously, with you both being in serious relationships, that's brilliant. People are in serious relationships now, because I kissed someone for the first time since I was seeing someone the other night. And the next morning, I woke up with guilt. I felt like I had had unprotected sex the night before. I was like, I hope I didn't catch anything. But that's what it's like now. COVID has made kissing scary.
Was it like the Dutch government or something? Like, I remember we got sent in something to our podcast, and it was like, the Dutch government are saying, like, get a fuck buddy. It's safer that way. And I was like saying to my missus, is it okay if I get a fuck buddy? She was like, no, that's supposed to be me. I was like, all right. Yeah, I thought, like, I was supposed to get one. So I must come off that fucking dating website.
Yeah. Very tough. Like Johnny's saying, for Irish men, lockdown was one thing, but the pub's been closed. We're trying to say to our friends that it's not mental to, like, meet a girl in a coffee shop or a restaurant or the gym. You know, you are allowed to talk to strangers, and it's a big gap for Irish people. But yeah, the pub been closed. we have friends who are single and that's it. Like they've just given up.
Wow.
Like they'll have a vaccine before they get the sex. Like I think.
Would they not go on the apps? Because we have a lot of listeners who'd message in now saying that they're doing a lot of app dating and they're like women in Ireland. We'd have big.
Yeah. Like we had a chat about it, like with our mates and stuff like that. And they set up like on Tinder and whatever the apps and it doesn't even look like them. Honestly, the Irish men don't take photographs. Fucking our friend, the Chalk Ice, we call him, and like he was like, I don't have any good photos from my profile. And I was like, I've got loads of photos of you, man. And he was like, I bet you won't find a photo past 2016. And I was like, what do you mean? And then like went through my phone, like went through like thousands of photos. And was like, Jesus, I don't have a photo of him since 2016. It's as if he just decided in 2016, I'm going to disappear.
He's off grid.
No one's ever going to see me again. And like I had no photo. And 4 years ago, it didn't really look like him in the photo. So he didn't want to catfish anyone either. Like, he looks even better now, but still.
No, Irish men's Tinder profile, they're either absolutely scuttered or it's like their tractor.
Right.
Yeah.
No, it's true, because when I went home, I just went home a few weeks ago. I was there for 3 weeks and I went on Tinder just for the crack, just to see the pictures. Because what I wanted was to do comparison between American Tinder photos. But like that, they were all blurry photos or just like random gaff photos. I'm like, who are you? Are you that other guy or that guy? There was nothing like to...
Was this in Dublin or Longford?
Oh, this is Longford, so...
Oh, yeah.
A lot of guys and horses as well.
But it's funny, like we went on our friend's Tinder and like she's a girl and we were like, can we look through the lads? Like, and it was basically like, it's amazing how quick you become like, you know, normal. So you're flicking through and it's like, yeah, lad in a gay jersey, lad on a tractor, blurry photo, Jesus, he's drunk. And then it's like a proper photo of a man and you're like, he's some dickhead. You know, because he's actually made an effort, like, you know.
Right. So,
you can't win.
You can't. Did you guys ever use the apps before when you were single?
Never. No. I've actually not. Like, people set up a fake one of him, all right. It's like fake Tinder account, like, which I guess is a compliment.
Yeah, I took it.
Yeah.
They shaved a few years off my age. I was like, yay!
He was thrilled.
No. Well, I feel like we should, just for fun. We'll say it to the girlfriends and see.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
just for content.
Yeah. yeah. It's Let's, just for fun. And then she stabs me. You know?
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. You're very lucky to be in happy relationships. So, oh, God. Yeah. Especially now. Do we have any last questions? Or oh, actually, do you know what? I wanted to show Tori a clip of Hurling with you guys here. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Tori, you haven't seen Hurling, right?
What?
Okay, that answers my question.
No, yeah, with Hurling? Is that the
place? Hurling.
Hurling. The sport.
Yes.
I think I've seen a bit once in my life.
Do you want me to show you a quick thing or have you seen
More.
It?
No, okay, let's anyway. See it. I think so.
Okay, I'm going to share my screen. If anything weird comes up, don't laugh.
Okay.
Just dick me.
Here's my penis. I picked it.
Ooh, they look so hot doing it.
I know.
Oh my God, look at their legs. Ooh, ooh. Okay, so it's like football and tennis together. Oh.
How do I stop
You're
it now?
Kill people.
See, they look much hotter to me than like any other sports team in America.
Yeah, wait till they take off their helmets.
Oh, it's like a hockey player type of thing.
Yeah, listen. Teeth and yeah, nose is kind of facing east and west at the same time. Yeah,
they're getting better looking, but one thing about like hurlers is like they've all got great legs. They've got them fucking good, big, strong legs and a big arse. Like I think right. all, yeah. So it's a good look.
That's what women want, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, also for Irish women, their fathers want them to be with hurlers or football players, like anything in the gas. So it's like a big, you know, if he's a gas player.
You can treat a man's daughter like shit. But if you're good at GAA, he doesn't care. Like he's like, you know, she's like, oh, he made me cry and he went off with like a load of girls at the weekend. And it's like, yeah, but like he's fucking hurling centre forward for the club and he's brilliant.
He scored 4 goals on Sunday. Do you understand? Yeah. You will put up with his shit for life.
That's how Americans feel about their kids dating doctors or lawyers.
Ah, okay. I thought you were going to say American footballer.
It's like, as long as they're a doctor or like a Jewish doctor or lawyer, it's like, it's fine. I'm like, Mom, he's hideous. Like, I don't even want to look at him. She's like, well, you know, he's a lawyer. It's fine. Or like, his dad's a lawyer. I'm like, what?
I've heard that in movies that like Jewish people would love their daughters to date like a doctor. Is that just a stereotype or is that true?
That's true. My mom has given up on that because I only date non-Jews, just what my vagina is attracted to. But
I stop listening to your vagina, young lady.
Yeah, I gotta listen to her. I tried. So I've tried, and guess what happens? Not good. But it's not a stereotype. People want that because it's. I think it's like represents stability, and like, oh, someone will take care of you. I'm like, oh, that's good. I'm like, oh, I'll marry someone I'm not attracted to and want to cheat on them. My mom's like, well, it's at least you'll live in a house. At least that's nice.
But Tori, it's the exact same with Irish parents in regards to like, have they got land or do they have their own land. House? My dad was always trying to set me up with this guy. He has he's building his own house. Oh, my fucking mic's messing up, but he's building his own house. He has his own land and he keeps trying to set me up with him. And I'm like, he has a girlfriend. And he's like, it's fine. It's fine, Katie.
Katie, fight her. Fight her, Katie. Fight her.
Fight her on the land like Hunger Games.
And he also plays football as well. So he's always like, oh, Jez, he was great there at the weekend, Katie.
Katie, I'm really starting to think this guy's got a lot going for him. Maybe you should consider.
Yeah.
Maybe I should date him.
Nah, he's too quiet. He's actually such a Connell. I've never gotten a full sentence out of him before. So
there you go. See, he seems perfect. He won't even answer you back.
Yeah, that's the problem. Sometimes the Irish stereotype is that they don't talk enough, and then the American stereotype is they don't shut the fuck up. Sometimes I'm on a date and I'm like, I haven't spoken in 2 hours.
Yeah. After an hour and a half, he's like, and what's your name?
Yeah.
This was great. Thanks so much. Do we have any more? Oh, what's the highlights for next? My fucking microphone's acting up. What's the highlights for next week for your show?
Next week we're in
Miami.
We're in Miami and we try Vogan and I dress up as a drag queen.
We meet some drag queens. Really?
You know what? It's really fucking a lot of effort. A lot of effort. And then the drag queen who was doing me up, like putting on my makeup and stuff, like I was like, he or she got this thing out and was like, I was like, is that glue? And like CC Glitzer was her name. And she was like, yes, honey. And I was like, oh, where are you going to put that? She was like, just relax. I was like, yeah. She put glue all on my eyebrows and like pinned them down and then drew on fake eyebrows. And I swear, I was at the hotel that night for around 5 hours scrubbing it off.
Oh, but my God.
It made really good television.
You look great.
Yeah, I pulled it off.
But a very interesting story these drag kings were telling us about how they got into it and like the history of voguing. So tune in.
I'm excited.
Yeah, it's great because even I was trying to watch I couldn't watch it for ages, but then I figured out. So for any of the people listening in America, you just have to download the app, the RTE app.
Yeah, so, RTE player. It's free.
And I think each episode is just on the player for 7 days. So it airs on a Thursday. So you've got to watch it before the following Thursday or it disappears.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know, the network might try and sell it to Netflix. Who knows?
Or Hulu. It'd be great on Hulu. They have a couple of Irish shows there, Netflix. But
hey, listen, whoever wants it, I'm sure they can buy it.
Yeah, get that money.
Get that money in the paper.
I think so. I hope, like, because I tried to watch it online, but then I got it on my phone once I downloaded the app, and I was like, okay, I'm grand. But I, like, definitely think it would do great over here because they love The Young Offenders, they love Derry Girls, and they loved Ashlyn B's series. And so I think, yeah, woof, we might see you on Hulu or something soon. Oh, I loved you guys in your mermaid outfits.
Oh, well, we were fabulous. To be fair,
That is something that will haunt me until the day I die for a very, very long, long time.
I look great. And your fancy shoes. I noticed that you had your fancy boat shoes.
Yeah, you didn't have your socks on.
Yeah, that's the style tour, you know?
I know. You know what you should do? Well, when the pandemic's over, there's something in LA I haven't gotten done, but I feel like you guys should get it. It's like a facial for your butt.
Oh, I need that.
You guys would be so good. I want to see you guys get waxed and get that on a future episode.
Tune into next week's episode, Tori. You're in for an absolute treat. We do some.
Oh my god! I'm a psychic. I can't wait.
This is so great. Are you going to come back to New York after the pandemic?
Yeah, as soon as the pandemic's over, we're actually going to try and give it a go in America. I think for a while, we'll see how we get on.
We might be over to visit.
Ah, that'd be great.
Yeah, we're gonna give it a try. We're definitely gonna do New York because we had two shows in New York we had to cancel, and two in Vancouver as well. And we'll pick up some more shows and we'll get a proper American tour when this shit's over.
Yes. Yeah.
So next year, that's great. Thank you guys so much, Tori. You're good, Tori?
I'm good.
Oh, I love us all.
Thanks for having me, and it was really fun meet. I want to meet you guys in person.
Yeah,
definitely. We'll definitely all meet up for drinks when we get back to the States.
And guess what? I just want to let you know I'm drinking again. And when I mean drinking again, I mean two drinks and I'm drunk, okay?
Even if you're on antibiotics, I want you to get fucked up.
I will.
I've seen Tori hammered after one drink. So she literally sips the one drink for the whole night, but she's hammered.
She did.
Yeah. She's an ideal girlfriend.
Yeah. I know.
I'm the cheapest girlfriend. I know. That's why every guy probably likes me. I'm always like, it's my personality. I'm like, no, it's because I'm so cheap.
She's so small. She doesn't eat a lot as well.
Wow. She's really, really cheap.
How tight are you? Jeez.
I know. God, I'm such a catch.
And Tori's going to be over in Ireland as well next year. So
doing nice one, Tori.
Hit us up.
Yes, okay. Definitely.
You guys are the best. Sure. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks, girls. All right. See you later.
Okay. See you later.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. You guys are great. Please rate, review, and share if you can. That'd be amazing. And if you want to watch the video is up on Patreon. So go have a look at that if you can. And also, if you want to just hear bonus episodes, please subscribe to the Patreon. There's some extra stuff up there. Right now, just some solo episodes. Me and Tori did an extra episode up there. And please go watch the boys. Their new show, it's brilliant. And like, for anybody who's international, just download the app onto your phone. It doesn't really work on the browser for some reason, or maybe it will for you, but it worked for me when I downloaded it on my phone. And then go listen to their podcast and go listen to Tori's podcast. She was great now for coming in and co-hosting. So her podcast is Got It From My Mama, and then the boys is The Two Johnnies. But yeah, so thanks so much, and I'll chat to you next week. I'm really excited about the guests for the upcoming weeks. For the next few weeks, there's always going to be an Irish and an American guest, and so I have some great guests. I'm really, really looking forward to it. So I'll chat to you next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.